May the mercy and grace of God's own Son ever be with you and always comfort you. Amen. This evening we meditate on three verses from Luke chapter 23, where we read, "It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour, for the sun stopped shining. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, 'Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.' When he had said this, he breathed his last." This is the word of the Lord. We bow our heads in prayer. Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth will show forth your praise. Amen. Please be seated. In the name of God's own Son, our suffering Savior abandoned by the Son, dear children of the Heavenly Father, in the days of the Spanish Inquisition, it was not enough for you to simply confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It was mandatory by the royalty of Spain that new converts in particular would somehow prove that they were no longer Muslim and no longer Jewish. Somehow they had to prove the negative, and many simply could not. The Spanish Inquisition lasted for nearly 400 years in one form or another, and there were many God-fearing people who simply had no way to disprove the negative and ended up being thrown into dark dungeons and forgotten. Years later, they stumbled on one old dungeon cell where there was nothing left but a skeleton chained to the wall. And on the wall above the skeleton, a very simple cross was scratched into the stone with the words, "Wide and long, high and deep." A reminder for that suffering soul of that prayer of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 3. "I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." Filled to the measure with all the fullness of God. There have been Christians, countless Christians down through the ages, who were so filled with Jesus Christ and his love, they would not trade it for anything, not even for life itself. As this evening we watch with creation at the cross, we are struck with the depth of that love, how wide and long and high and deep it truly is. Because the one who did the creating, the uncreated Son of God, was abandoned by the Son that he created. Abandoned by the Son, God's own Son. We see him as the creator of the light-giving bodies. Modern science can't grasp it, and human logic can't get around it. But little children have no problem with what the Bible says. The words are very specific. They are very emphatic. It's extremely clear from the Hebrew in particular that God created light on the first day and created the light-giving bodies on the fourth day. There are two different words that are used in the Hebrew. One is for the light, the other is for the light-giving bodies. As we would talk about light from a light pole. The verbs are even more emphatic. There is no question in the Hebrew that on the fourth day is when God created the light-giving bodies. The Hebrew verb forms there mandate what every translation says. They all practically translate the same as the NIV here. Verse 14 of Genesis 1, and God said, we would say, and God was keeping on saying, he was talking, fourth day was here, let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. Across the face of the Rakia, as you remember, in the outer space of God that he had created, there were those lights, the light-giving bodies that God set there as part of his powerful word that spoke and it came to be. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. Why didn't he name them? We don't know. Is it possible, as some have thought, that maybe the Lord, looking ahead and realizing that before too long, his creatures would be worshiping his creation, especially the sun, moon, and stars. And so the Lord is almost saying here, go find names for your own idols. I created these. I govern these. I set them in place. I determine how they work and when they work. God made the great lights, the greater light to govern the day, the lesser light to govern the night. He made the stars, and God set them in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, to separate light from darkness, and God saw that it was good. That we do know. What God created there and what he did was good, and all the way he worked it so that the interplanetary movement would be so regular that you can look in your hymnal and find the dates for Easter 40 years out, for as long as they think hymnals will last. Same thing in the old Lutheran hymnal. All those dates are set by the Jewish Passover, which is set by the lunar calendar, and can all be mapped out over all that time because God created those great lights, and he set them in their rotation the way he wanted, and it still determines days and seasons and years for us today. It was the Lord's creation. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. The light-giving bodies were created by God's Son. The word that he spoke that came from his mouth was Jesus, the pre-incarnate Christ, speaking as God's power and the extension of his power. And imagine how wonderful it was as the sun would rise and set on those days after that first creation week. Maybe about this time of day, definitely not this cold, but about this time of day, when it was getting cooler and the sun was starting to set, our first parents looked forward to this time of day because the scripture says the Lord would come and walk with them in the cool of the day toward evening. Can you imagine walking and talking together all day long as husband and wife, deeply in love, him created first but living completely for her, her created from him and for him and happy with the way the Lord arranged it. Because they lived for each other and they lived for their God. And when that time came when he was there to walk and talk with them and converse with them, they loved it. Until that day, and we don't know how far in it was, when Adam chose to quit leading his wife according to God's word and follow according to her word. And then terror. An attempt to hide from the omnipresent one, to hide from the Almighty God, and to find out that under God's Son, that created sun in the sky, there would not be another day of happy rule in that family or any sense. There would not be happy rule under the sun because God cursed his whole creation because of them. To the woman, he said, I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing. With pain you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. What God created before in that role relationship was happy for both of them, but now their selfish, sinful natures will always be on a collision course with each other. To Adam, he said, Because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return. That dust drank the blood of their second son Abel, who was murdered by their first son Cain. He did not listen to the Lord's warning about how sin wanted to rule him. He would not repent or turn away, and neither did the generations that followed them. One after another, and he died, and he died, and he died. Until finally, they've all died in their souls, and there is but one family left, that family of Noah, the eight, his three sons, and their wives, and his wife. And that's all that was left, to hang on to that promise that God had given in the garden, the promise that made Adam and Eve alive again in hope, that the seed of the woman would crush the serpent's head. There would be that offspring, the Son of God, to restore and rule under the Son. But not until the Son would hide its face from God's own Son. Have you ever seen love like this? This kindness and this concern, carrying his own cross so heavy that they had to have Simon of Cyrene help him, being followed by these wailing women grieving over Jesus, and him turning to them and saying, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time will come when you will say, 'Blessed are the barren women, the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if men do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry?" So loving and so kind, he allowed them, the creator of all these great lights, the creator allowed himself to be crucified as a criminal between two other criminals, under God's justice, suffering between two under men's justice. And as they nail him to the cross, he speaks in kindness to those tormentors, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." While they divide his clothes among them, he watches, the Christ, the chosen one, mocked by the Jewish religious leaders and all who passed by, telling him, "Come down from the cross and then we'll believe in you." And finally, the criminals between him, mocking until one rebukes the other and then turns to his Savior and says, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Can you possibly forget what the Lord answered him? The reply to that criminal? "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." And that, dear friends, was the end of the light. For about 3 hours. From about noon to 3 p.m, as they say, the 6th hour to the 9th hour, darkness came over the whole land, for the sun stopped shining. Well might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in, when God the mighty maker died for man, the creature's sin. "Was it for crimes that I had done?" he groaned upon the tree. "Was it my selfishness? Was it my impatience that nailed him there? Was it the continuing quarreling between the sons of and daughters of Adam and Eve? The pointing finger that we can't get rid of, that selfishness still colliding, that continues in the blaming each other and blaming God instead of confessing our own sins and repenting and turning to the Lord? Is it the way we take our marriage for granted with God through His Son, Jesus Christ, our heavenly bridegroom? Did that nail Him to the cross? Is it the way we worship and serve created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised? Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. He cried out, as you heard before, my God, why have you forsaken me? He's teaching us what it's like and how to live, even in the midst of that forsaking. And he was fulfilling a prophecy that was 1,000 years old from Psalm 88. You have put me in the lowest pit, in the darkest depths. Your wrath lies heavily upon me. You have overwhelmed me with all your waves. You have taken from me my closest friends and have made me repulsive to them. I am confined and cannot escape. My eyes are dim with grief. I call to you, O Lord. Every day I spread out my hands to you. Are your wonders known in the place of darkness, or your righteous deeds in the land of oblivion? You have taken my companions and loved ones from me. The darkness is my closest friend. When we suffer that darkness and we feel abandoned by God, Jesus teaches us to turn back to Him in faith and trust that the Son, hiding its face from God's Son, was God's way of delivering us, that we would never have to be abandoned or forsaken, never have to suffer that hell that Jesus suffered on the cross in our place for our sins, to wash them away with His holy, precious blood. It is God's glory to save sinners like us and give us that hope that keeps us looking ahead to God's glory beyond the sun. It says the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The Lord actually showing us in a very vivid picture that the way is wide open to heaven through the wounds of Jesus Christ. The writer to the Hebrews says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is His body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Or as Peter says in his epistle, baptism doth also now save us. Our Lord Christ, who when the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, said, it is finished, and then called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. With that, He breathed out His life for you and for me and for all. He wants us to look forward to that day when there will be no more need of the sun. The sun in the sky will be gone because the Son of God, the Lamb at the center of the throne, will give light to the entire heaven, light up the place everywhere. So once again, we will be in total communion with God, not just in the cool time of the day, walking and talking with our Savior, but at all times, close to Him, living with Him, Him living in us, and us living in Him. We will be among those in white robes, with all those who have come out of the great tribulation, who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will spread His tent over them. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes. Never abandon, ever with the Lord, praising Him for His great salvation. Forever with the Lord. Amen. So let it be. Life from the dead is in that word, my immortality. While time on earth is spent, absent from Him I roam, yet nightly pitch my moving tent a day's march nearer home. Lord, be at my right hand, then can I never fail. If you uphold me, I shall stand, with you I shall prevail. So when my dying breath shall rend the veil in two, by death I shall escape from death to endless life with you. I'll know as I am known. How shall I love that word and oft repeat before the throne, forever with the Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen.